W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
What's going on? Thank you for downloading or streaming the show wherever you might be, from your Amazon Echo, from YouTube, through the TuneIn app, through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. It is appreciated. I want to let everybody know before we get going any further that if you want to help support the show, the best way to do that is hit that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It does not cost you anything extra. It helps support the show. And there's also a Shop Target tab up there. If you're going to go ahead and shop online with Target, whether you pick it up in store or have it shipped to you, go ahead and use that link for that. It also helps support us.
Yeah, let's say that like all of a sudden you thought that the winter was over, and then all of a sudden it was like, you know, 40 degrees out and 50 degrees out, raining every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to get a heater. Just all of a sudden. You can shop on Target.
Yep. Yep. And they've got all of the spaces out front now.
And you can pick it up.
Pick it up. You don't have to go in if you've got a couple of little kids.
If it's raining.
Yeah. Oh, God. We're getting a new roof, but we still don't have it. We thought, because normally it doesn't rain.
No, this is super awkward
here. If it does rain in May here, it's a little bit here and there, multiple days of downpours.
No, not to where you would need, if you had a basement, your sump pump would still need to be running.
Right. Or if you've got a little leak in your roof, you would have to have something underneath it.
Oh.
But that's where we are. And we're getting stuff squared away. We're going to get a new, we need a new HVAC.
Oh, man.
A new roof. And we're doing solar.
Nah.
Solar.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That sounds like.
It's a major project.
Sounds like just like hemorrhaging from your butthole.
Well, here's the thing. It has to happen.
Yeah.
The roof needs to happen.
Yeah.
The HVAC needs to happen. And if you're not from California, you've heard of PG&E. They're the ones that start the wildfires. And maybe that's what you've heard about them. It's true. It's true. Yes, they have started at least a couple of wildfires. Oh, yeah. And they blew up San Bruno. But aside from that, they're great.
Totally cool, man.
That and having the highest electric rates in the country. That's what they're known for. And they've asked.
And burning down whole towns?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, starting wildfires.
Blowing them up and burning them down.
Blowing up towns and having the highest electric rates. And they've now asked the state for the okie doke to go ahead and raise their rates again. So going solar really is a no-brainer.
Oh, that's right, because you guys aren't on SMUD, are you?
No, we're in West Sacramento.
Oh, man.
We are on PG&E, the company that burns down towns and blows them up.
That's right. That sucks for you guys.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
The electricity here is expensive, so going solar makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And here in California, I believe in the next couple of years, all new construction is going to have solar on it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fantastic. I've learned a lot about solar. For instance, and I was unaware of this, the optimum temperature for solar panels, do you know what it is?
Optimum temperature is probably like, 93 degrees out.
78 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
78 degrees. So even if you live somewhere where it isn't stupid hot, a solar panel here and there could be something that makes sense for you. So yeah, it's a big project. It's a multi-level project, and it has to be done. So that's all well and good with the weather and stuff like that. As we're recording this on Monday, of course it's supposed to rain again tomorrow. Yeah, it's been a delight. It's been a freaking delight. So we got all that. I like to call this segment of the show a little chit chat. A little chit chat. Let's talk Game of Thrones. Did you get a chance to see the finale?
I did.
So if you haven't seen the finale of Game of Thrones yet and you care about Game of Thrones, I really doubt that you actually care about Game of Thrones. Because if Jason, who has two children under the age of three, can find time to watch Game of Thrones.
I watched it at 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, you found time because you cared. What did you think of the wrap up of Game of Thrones?
It's a fucking show. What do you expect? I mean, like, it was fine. It was fine. You know what I mean? Everything was for the most part tied up. It started kind of in a way where it began, like in a sense, like it didn't seem out of crazy, it didn't seem crazy. I'm also not a woman, so I don't know. There's certain things that I've heard some women have issue with how the last, like, the last season's gone so far with Daenerys and her just becoming the Mad Queen all of a sudden. Like, bam, it happened.
Yeah, I don't think it just happened.
I didn't see it that way either. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to.
Well, that's the wrong.
I don't want to yuck their yum. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what they want to, take away, and that's what disappoints them. But while I always was rooting for her, I knew that she was capable of some fucked up shit. I mean, she let the fury out a couple of times, and you saw what she could be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, she burned down, like, she crucified a whole town of the slave owners.
Yeah, but you could argue they were evil, and she was, her whole thing in her mind, she was good.
Right.
She was doing good.
Right.
But then she decided to burn the entire city of King's Landing.
The whole city.
Women, children, whatever, just burned them all.
Burned
up.
Them down to a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. So that was. So anyhow, like I was totally fine with the way it ended. It wasn't crazy. Here's the thing: if it was a resounding, like, it wouldn't ring true. I think also, like, if it was all of a sudden like this, it ended the way that it needed to end, with the Starks, the way that it began. It began with the Starks and it ended with the Starks. They're the protectors of the North, like that, right? Right?
Sure. Here's the issues. Let me break a few of them down for you.
Okay. I'll counterpoint if I can.
Bran the Broken.
Yeah.
He spent the past 2.5 seasons just mumbling that he wasn't Bran anymore. He was the Three-Eyed Raven. Then suddenly when they say, let's make Bran the Broken the king, would you be the king? And he said, what do you think I came for? Well, no mention that he was the fucking Three-Eyed Raven at that point. Where did that go, you weirdo?
Yeah.
That just out the fucking door? Oh, how about this? How about no one has a more compelling story than Bran the Broken? He was pushed out a window and survived, and then became the Three-Eyed Raven. What about Jon Snow? He was the bastard of Ned Stark, except he wasn't. And then he was sent to Castle Black to be part of the Night's Watch. And then he went north of the Wall. He fought the White Walkers. He was killed. And then he was brought back from the dead. He united the Wildlings to help fight the White Walkers and free the North and save the entire kingdoms. But suddenly the kid who fell out of a window because Jaime Lannister pushed him in season one has the most interesting story? Fuck you. Not at all true. And by the way, let me just digress for a moment. The Mrs. Joe Jonas. Sansa Stark, if you will.
Oh, is she married to Joe Jonas?
They got married a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Damn.
She is in an X-Men movie coming up.
Oh, yeah.
She is, not since Katherine Heigl have I seen such acting.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, prove me wrong, but boy... There is, I mean, maybe it's some weird British thing that I'm not getting, but that the depth that she brought to that character is like a mud puddle that doesn't come up above the sole of your shoe to dampen the instep.
I don't know. I think that I never questioned her, the way that her character was, or like the where she ended up or how she, I mean, I think that she endured a lot, and I mean, you've also watched all the episodes very recently, so you have a pretty good idea of it. But I never saw her as I saw her as being of an age when she, when all this started.
Mm-hmm.
She was in an age where she was becoming a lady. So there are certain.
Well, she hadn't bled yet,
right? But she was at that point where she was being taught that she was going to bleed, and that she had a certain thing that she needed to do and be to be a woman and a lady mm-hmm. in this kingdom. And I think it was just only reinforced when her mother died. So she always has felt that she has to be prim and proper and not show emotion, and you know, be very.
By the way, her mother, the dumbest character in Game of Thrones. The worst decisions in the entirety of Game of Thrones.
Well, that was back when there was good writing, according to everybody else.
Okay, so the thing with Game of Thrones, if you don't follow it, and I never read the book, so I'm not like the book snob, Sansa's husband. George R.R. Martin had this series of books that Game of Thrones is based upon. They got to the end of the books, but still had to make more TV. So without that source material to go off of, which was the books, they were, in some people's minds, a bit meandering and lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to another. It was a very unsatisfying feeling at the end. You know what it felt like? It felt like a goddamn compromise.
Well,
where no one is happy.
And I think that that's what.
Welcome.
That's
to,
what,
you know
that's
what happens
they are.
Game of Thrones. No one's happy.
But isn't that the whole? Isn't that the whole? Like, the, if you look at the whole story.
Yeah, no one's happy.
And that's how you know it's right. Because no one's happy, and you just proved your own point.
Like, but it's fiction, so you could make someone happy.
No, I was happy with Arya's ending of her arc. You know, I mean, like, you know, she killed the Night King. What is she going to do after that? Like, kill Cersei? But like, I don't know. Nope.
Nope. Is she going to kill Daenerys? Nope.
No. Nope. John did. John had the balls to do it. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing too, is like, he couldn't have been the king because there's people that would have hated him and killed him right away. Yeah. Because he killed her.
Yeah, but it's the Unsullied. Fuck him. Put him on a boat and blow at him. Who cares? Get out of here. What are they going to? It's not like they're going to reproduce and have more of them.
Yeah.
They don't have any junk.
But I think also the idea of like, they're going to have a, like, they pretty much have a theocracy after this, you know, right? They have a group of landowners that will be making the decision who's the king,
as opposed to birthright,
right? Which is it's flipping the game.
Sure,
flipping the game.
And I like when Samuel Tarly suggested that everybody vote, and everyone was like,
"Yeah."
Other point of note, that it's a small thing. Have you ever watched Big Brother?
No.
Okay, so in the show Big Brother, one of the things they have is they have the power of veto, and there's a competition, and someone wins the power of veto. And basically, without getting too far into the weeds, if you get the power of veto, you can either remove yourself or someone else from the block to be voted off the show that week.
Mm.
Okay? And the power of veto is a necklace with a gold circle with a slash through it. Now, if you go back a couple of seasons, Sansa Stark was wearing the golden power of veto around her neck. And we're watching it. I go, hey, Leslie, Sansa's got the golden power of veto.
It was back this week.
No, not with the slash through. Oh, it's just a circle.
It's just a circle.
The last couple of seasons, they did the circle because apparently someone hipped them to the fact that they were using the golden power of veto. So stupid. But Game of Thrones is over. What I found interesting is everybody's like, oh, well, you know, there are counselors for those of you who have to mourn the loss of Game of Thrones. I'm like, motherfucker, there was no new shows for like 2 years.
Yeah.
If these eight up, I almost get it when Friends went off the air because it was on every single week for such a long time that you felt like you lost these friends, because this was for a lot of people, this was their major social interaction of the week, even though they were passively part of it. This makes no sense at all. There were no episodes for 2 goddamn years. They come back for 8. These are fantasy characters in a different time that ride dragons and do all of this shit. It's like, what? Yeah, and yes, of course, if you feel that much loss when Game of Thrones went off the air, you probably should get some help.
I just, my head hurts so much. Like, I'm so angry that people are so angry. Like, people are losing their fucking minds about this last season of Game of Thrones. Like, I hadn't really heard anybody say about anything about last season being shitty. I don't remember people really saying that last season was horrible.
I think part of the whole thing with this season is we had two episodes that were really nothing but battles. There was almost no dialogue.
Yeah.
One of them was so dark you could barely see anything.
Yeah.
And everybody had these ideas of how they wanted these characters to end up. They had invested this time in these characters and they had wanted, I mean, they got the moment when Arya Stark killed the Night King. They got that one moment. And then almost immediately someone punched them in the taint with the whole thing about, oh, don't tell your sisters. I have to tell my sisters. Tells the sisters tell Tyrion, blah, 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 blah. And then it becomes a whole thing. And it's like, oh, we can't have a moment to enjoy anything.
Nope. It's Game of Thrones.
We spent the better part of an hour in a dark fight and we can't have 2 minutes of feeling good.
Was it like the fifth episode that they beheaded Ned Stark?
It was super early on.
And like, I mean, like, you just like got past, because like, I remember the first time I watched the first and second episodes, maybe two or three times. It took me two or three times to get through those first.
They move slow.
Like, it was hard. But I got over the bump.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really was like fourth. I was like, oh, this is going to be some cool shit. And then all of a sudden they killed Ned Stark.
Yep.
And you're like, fuck.
I've spent all this time caring about this character who's the good guy.
And I don't like the bad people at all. Like, I don't like Jaime Lannister and I don't like Cersei. I don't like Joffrey. I don't like these people are bad people. They're just mm-hmm. horrible people. I don't like watching them every week. And then the Red Wedding happened.
Oh, the Red Wedding.
You know, I mean, like, it was this moment was just like so surprising that no, like, people, the only people that were hip to that were the people that had read the books
mm-hmm.
and they all relished in being able and knowing what was happening. Like, because they were so hip.
I remember.
They could just relish like, ah, ha, ha, we knew it was coming.
See, at that point, I was not into Game of Thrones. So I didn't come into it until probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Leslie had been watching it. So she has the memory of watching the Red Wedding. She watched it by herself. So I think it was before we got together, or at least we weren't together. It was one of those things. I wasn't watching it. So I wouldn't come over to watch Game of Thrones. And she's like, I just sat here like with my mouth open going, what the fuck did just happen? I never had that because I had heard about the Red Wedding. I didn't know exactly all the details because I didn't watch. I didn't really care. But the idea that I kind of knew, and I knew that it was coming, and I've watched the whole series through twice now.
I just don't get how people get so, like, you know, I mean, it's very rare that a TV show or a show like this is going to meet your expectations at the end of it when you've had this type of long love affair with it. Once in a while, you get lucky. You get your new heart, or you get your Breaking Bad. But
a lot of people were very unhappy with the ending of Breaking Bad.
Well, those people, that was an amazing ending. That was the perfect and only ending that could have happened. You know what I mean? Like, that was the only ending that could have happened with that show that was appropriate.
I think The Sopranos is another one that got a lot of flack for how it ended because nothing happened.
Yeah.
As opposed to although The Sopranos really did wrap up a lot of things. Now, a lot of the wrap up were people being killed.
Yeah.
A lot like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that same wrap up. I think, the Newhart wrapped up with an homage back to Bob Newhart's previous sitcom.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. From 1986. But
even Deadwood, which ended like mid-season on its third season.
Deadwood, oh God, the first time I tried to watch it, man.
Oh, you need to get,
I've watched it all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
But the first time I tried to watch it, I got through like an episode and a half. And I'm like, how many times can you write the word motherfucker into a script? I mean, I get it. It's the Old West. They don't give a fuck. But could we please have a few less motherfuckers in this?
Nope. You didn't get the cock. You didn't get the cocksuckers yet.
Oh no, we did.
It was great though, right?
I mean, a lot of motherfuckers and cocksuckers. You know, I still think Deadwood was a little overrated. I thought if you want Timothy Oliphant at his best, I think you go Justified.
Oh, Justified was, that's the only reason I saw Justified was because of how much I enjoyed Deadwood. But like, there's just some scenes in Deadwood that were just so poetic. Like there was the scene where the priest who's getting, or the reverend that's getting crazier and crazier as the episodes go on. Mm-hmm. And he's giving a sermon to a cow's balls. And it was just so amazing and so poetic and so Shakespearean.
Yeah. Syphilis is like that.
Oh man. It was great. But the thing is, I guess what I'm saying is like Dexter was horrible ending. Like
I love Dexter's did you? Ending. I really did.
Okay.
Well, see, I love Dexter. Well, I hated Deb. So her being dead, spoiler alert, was great. I like the idea of Dexter going, you know what? I can't kill myself. And then he's going out and logging. Cause then there's always the idea of maybe Dexter will come back.
Yeah.
Maybe. And even if it's just for like a movie, maybe Dexter will come back. And just that thought is really cool to me. I mean, not that I expect it to happen, but the idea that it could happen, I'm like, this guy still exists somewhere. And just because it's in the middle of nowhere doesn't mean he's going to stop doing what he's doing. In fact, he probably is going to continue. So it just opens up a whole world of possibilities and it doesn't close it down, which I found really liberating.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, but I'm just saying there's a lot of blowback on that ending also. A lot of blowback on the Lost ending, of course. I guess what I'm trying to say is that like it's ridiculous. Like I just can't believe like how
stop watching before the last season. So it's the rest
anything. It doesn't even matter. Like watch it to the end. Just don't like. You're not the show, bro. Like this isn't you. This isn't your life. This is your escape. It's gonna have like. Don't give a fuck about it. Like you can give a fuck about watching it, but don't give a fuck about what happened. Like, do not invest your emotion in this shit. It is fake.
But that's why people get so into it because
they can go fuck themselves. Fuck all of them. They can suck dicks. They are assholes.
They're emotionally involved.
I don't know, man. I get it, and I want to be there with you. But you know, going through AA.
Sweet Lord, I have to stop. Stop drinking and apologize to people in order to not care about a show.
No, no, I'm kidding. But it's ridiculous. It's just, I can't believe people get so crazy. They're so hung up on it, man. I don't know where you get time to be so upset about it.
Because it just sort of hangs with you. It's something you have conversations with your friends about. It becomes part of your conversation piece. It's like another group of friends that you talk about. If you're in, especially if you're into it with your significant other or a group of people I get why people get into it and I get why people get upset. And I didn't love the ending of Game of Thrones, but I was like, The Sopranos, I got mad about. I got really mad about The Sopranos.
I think I stopped watching like before the second or third season.
The Sopranos is so fantastic. It's such a fantastic show. I've watched it all the way through like 6 or 7 times and it's easily my favorite show of all time.
Really?
The Sopranos is. Sons of Anarchy would be a close second. I watched that. What I did with Sons of Anarchy is I binged watch before every season would start. I would binge every season before that. So I've seen season 1 8 times.
Wow.
I've seen season 2 7 times, et cetera, et cetera. The last season, once. Because it is just so emotionally devastating. Like I could not binge watch the last, and somebody asked me about it because I watched it as it happened. And somebody said, oh, well, I'm going to binge it. I said, you are not going to binge it. And she's like, why am I not going to binge it? What do you mean? I can binge it if I want to. I go, no, you can't. You literally emotionally, if you care about these characters at all, cannot binge the final season of Sons of Anarchy. If you are invested in these characters, because it is just such a, it's just so awful. I mean, there were several points in Sons of Anarchy that were devastating.
Oh yeah.
Devastating. Season 1 Opie's wife, Donna, gets killed when it was meant to be Opie.
Yeah.
Tig kills her by accident, although he was supposed to kill Opie. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Sons of Anarchy, it's too late. It's been off the air for several years. So that was really awful when Tig's daughter was burned alive in front of him in a pit near the railroad track.
Yeah.
That was fucking brutal. He's there yelling, baby, no. And you hear the screaming and she's been doused in gasoline and lit on fire. There's Opie getting beaten to death in prison. Those were all like the three of the most, oh my God, moments of that show. Season seven was somehow topped them all. And I don't remember a lot of the details. I know how the show exactly ended, with Jax riding into the grill of an 18 wheeler. Spoiler alert. Again, it's been off the air for like 6 years. If you haven't seen it, that's on you.
But if you didn't do that, it was going to be like he had it. That's what he had to do.
Right. There were all of these choices that had to be made to go through. And it was just every one of them was this heart-wrenching thing. Every decision that made. That's what that's the last season of Sons of Anarchy is just you can't binge it. If you can watch more than two episodes in a row, you have no soul. If you care about these characters at all, if you're casually, you know, fucking around on your iPhone and it's on in the background, okay, maybe. But it's just brutal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's not one of my favorite shows, but I did enjoy it and I watched every episode of that. I think I did binge like the first three seasons or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got caught up. And I like the thing
a lot of people got lost when they went to Ireland.
I think that and I picked it up right before they went to Ireland. Because okay. Was that the third or fourth season?
I think it was the third season.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I saw, like somebody I read something or I talked to somebody and about its similarities to, or maybe I put it together, but I think I must have read something about it. The similarities of the story with Hamlet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. And so I knew how it had to end. Like when I heard that it was, you know, Hamlet, I was like, oh, well, if they're going to, if that's really the case, and this is, and there's so many similarities in the story of Hamlet in this, like really there are, just like Deadwood has some similarities to some Shakespeare stuff.
It's called stealing.
Well, you know, it's the reason that Shakespeare's still around is because he took timeless stories and made them his, you know.
Some would also insinuate that Shakespeare stole a lot of his stuff.
No,
he
never.
That Shakespeare was not one guy, but merely.
No, that's. I've listened to stuff recently where they talked about how that's a bunch of bullshit. That's not. There's no way that.
Hey, man, I'm going to believe it, and you can't stop.
No, no, it's. There's no way that
I'm entitled to my beliefs that Shakespeare was. No, it's not a belief.
There's a fact that he was an actual person.
Well, he was sure, but he's the guy who took everybody else's stuff and just put it out as his.
No, but what it is though is. Is telling old
like
things.
Stephen King is Richard Bachman.
It's not the same thing. He had to do that so contractually he could make money in a different. He wanted to publish certain books and they wouldn't let him publish them, so he came up with a pseudonym and they said to fine. That's what happened with Stephen King and Richard Bachman.
I just play it.
No, you know, he took the thing is to take an old story and tell it in a new way. So you take Hamlet and you tell it through a biker club. Bam. That's a timeless story that everybody's going to get and be emotionally attached to.
Sure.
And it's a tragedy.
And the main character was likable. Jax Teller was likable.
And he's going to die.
But not until the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's going to die.
Tony Soprano, bad, bad dude. Really likable.
Yeah. Right.
Really fucking likable. And that was the charm of The Sopranos. Yeah, they're all bad. I had a friend who didn't watch The Sopranos. He's like, they're all bad people and I can't root for them. It's like, you clearly have not watched.
Walter White.
I got so irritated at Walter White. In fact, I started Breaking Bad late and I got like four or five episodes in and I posted, I think on Facebook at the time, I said, I am about ready to tap out. I do not get what this is all about. I just don't get it. And one of my friends, Jim, who lives in Vegas now, said, keep watching it for a few more episodes. It'll get better. It'll make sense. And I trusted him and he was right. by, I think it was like episode 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Was when it's like, oh, okay, it all starts to get together. But there were still parts in Breaking Bad that I'm like, what the fuck? Like when his friend who sort of stole the company from him said, hey, here's a job for several $100,000 a year in health insurance. And he went, no. And his whole point of selling meth was he wanted to provide income for his family and be able to pay for his medical treatments. Well, that was offered to you. You didn't have to sell meth, but you're going to sell meth. And this is before he got super into it. It's like, this doesn't make sense. No. And by the way, Vince Gilligan, everyone's right to hate Skyler White.
He couldn't, like, that was what was wrong with his character. That was his character defect. He had a character defect, and that was his pride. And that was always his character defect. Like, that, if you go back to it every single time, that's what defeated himself.
No, I know.
I mean, like, that's, so I loved it. And I love Better Call Saul. Like, watching Better Call Saul is a treat. Do you watch that? Have you watched?
You know, that's one of those that, again, like Breaking Bad, I tried to watch the first season and I was in the wrong mindset and I just didn't. It's in my queue on Netflix. I still call it a queue. That's how long I've had Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
it's my list because Americans don't know what a queue is or how to spell
idiots,
it.
Right? Yeah.
it's one of those shows that's in there. By the way, if you want a recommendation for a really good show, if you like Kim Coates, who played Tig on Sons of Anarchy, it's a very different character. If you like Sons of Anarchy and you like The Sopranos, there's a show called Bad Blood on Netflix. Season one is out now, has been out. Season two starts here in the next week or so. And it's weird. I don't know what season two, I kind of do because it's already aired in Canada, but season one is sort of based on real life events about, organized crime in Montreal, which I live near Montreal, like an hour away from it. So I had sort of that attachment to kind of what was going on, but it was a really interesting show and it's really well done. Season two won awards in Canada and it aired there. And now it's coming to Netflix here at the end of the month.
Mm.
So Bad Blood is a recommendation from me, man. We've really gone through the show. This is kind of a good show because, you know, we didn't get to most of what we were going to talk about, but, before we move on to some, traditional things, I want to let you know that you can have a point of contact between you and God.
All across America, how many have been praying? This coin is our point of contact. When I asked the Lord, why the coin? The Lord said, because when you take the coin, it's a point of contact. So your faith is being released with a million other believers to pray protection and peace and wisdom and counsel over the president of the United States and over his family. Mm-hmm. That's our point of contact every day. Yeah. When you see it, remember,
yeah,
God puts something in your hand that you have a role in. That's why we've got to pray, because what? They think we're crazy, but we're actually the sane ones. We're praying. What? We're going to pray. This, the teaching that is here, this coin is a point of contact. Yes. This 24 karat gold plated coin. And by the way, I couldn't copy the Sanhedrin model. I told them I would do an original. So we found a nicer picture of the president to use. So
that's
have our own version of it. But what we want to do is we want to
look
be
at
able
this.
To
what?
Start.
Look at this. Huh? What?
This battle for the future of America has already started. 16 to 18 months. We're already in it. We're in the battle right now. Yeah. We need to be praying now and not captive to gloom or anxiety or fear. But channeling our optimism in the direction of God's begun a miracle, let's keep that miracle going.
I've sat here and I've listened to all of this. And it's very painful. It's very painful.
That's right. For $45, you too can buy a coin from Jim Baker and this huckster that you can use as a point of contact between you and God as you pray for President Trump's re-election in 2020.
Wow.
I believe Jesus threw out the money changers from the temple and threw their pieces of silver at them, if I'm remembering my Bible story correctly. So I find it very ironic that they would be using a coin as a point of contact, especially a $45 worthless coin as a point of contact between you and God. look, I really don't want to crap on you if you are a person of faith and you really have strong held beliefs. But please, 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 please don't be a sucker for these hucksters. Do not. Believe in being a good person. Believe in being moral. Believe in being a positive force. Believe in God. Believe in the afterlife. Believe in whatever you believe in. But don't give in to these con men.
And don't feel a need to make other people believe what you believe.
Yeah, that's part. Look, be confident enough in your beliefs that if somebody else doesn't have the same belief, that's okay.
That's all right.
Go, even if you want to go away and go, now, this is sort of against the rules, at least in the Christian rules that I was brought up in, because it's prideful to go, hey, man, they're wrong. I'm right. I'll see you burning in hell from above. I'll be looking down at you burning in hell.
Is that prideful?
That is prideful.
Really?
Yeah. If you believe yourself to be better than somebody else, that's prideful.
No.
It absolutely is.
Really?
Yes.
But I just saw that one guy doing it that was on TV that's a Christian. It's
Is he? Is he really?
He was trying to sell me a coin.
Right, exactly. And again, I say this with the utmost sincerity. I do not want to crap on you for having faith.
No, I have faith.
George Michael had faith. Faith. This from the University of Chicago, religious upbringing associated with less altruism. That's not how it's supposed to be. Many families believe religion plays an essential role in childhood moral development, but children of religious parents may not be as altruistic as those parents think. According to a new international study from the University of Chicago, published back in November in Current Biology, a team of developmental psychologists led by Professor Jean DeCidi examined the perceptions and behavior of children in six countries. The study assessed the children's tendency to share, that's a measure of their altruism, and their inclination to judge and punish others for bad behavior. Now, punishment is very important because there's a lot of stories in the Bible about people being punished for things. Now, usually God was doing the punishing.
Generally.
Yeah. But if you... So anyway, children from those religious families less likely to share than were children from non-religious families. A religious upbringing was also associated with more punitive tendencies in response to antisocial behavior. The results were at odds with the perception of religious parents, who were more likely than non-religious parents to report that their children had a high degree of empathy and sensitivity to the plight of others. That's also pride, by the way. Saying our findings contradict the common sense and popular assumption that children from religious households are more altruistic and kind toward others. In our study, kids from atheist and non-religious families were, in fact, more generous. That study included 1,170 children between the ages of 5 and 12, and this is around the world, from Canada, China, Jordan, South Africa, Turkey, and the United States. So, and they're not saying which specific religion. So these are different countries with different religions and different ideas of religion. So the idea that you need religion and you need that sort of religious structure in order to raise children who are going to be good, kind people is actually provably not true, which is really interesting. I just found it interesting. Now, growing up in Vermont, I grew up Catholic, and there were not a lot of people around who were atheist or that we knew were atheist. And so I had almost no experience with people who were atheists. And when you first hear it and you're someone who has grown up in a place where there's faith, you think atheist, oh, they think there's no God. They're bad people. And again, that just sort of comes from a place of ignorance, because people who don't necessarily believe in God can still believe in teaching their children right and wrong and being nice to people.
Yeah.
So, and hey, guess what? Science backs it up. The only problem, too many religious people not really into science. So,
it's sad how it happens.
It really is. A quick update. The Oregon City underwear bandit has been sentenced to 30 days in jail.
Oh, that's good.
He was charged with stealing underwear from a neighbor's home, got 30 days in jail after he was captured on surveillance video breaking in and stealing underwear from her bedroom last June. At 68, you think a dude would be past that. But again, you would be wrong. All right, before we move on to small town news, I got some local news from Sacramento that made me say, what the hell?
What the hell?
Exactly. What the hell? No, I don't want your breaking news alerts. I really, really don't. So this happened not too far from my house here. A volunteer van driver and the veteran that he was transporting escaped death when a tripod crashed through their windshield. We go to KCRA3 News.
Is this a miracle?
Absolutely.
For the story.
You see the pictures of the van and everything about it.
This is the van, its windshield smashed by a yellow steel tripod thrown into southbound traffic on Interstate 5 yesterday morning.
It was like a dream, for lack of a better description.
Tim Page, a veteran volunteer with El Dorado Veteran Resources through Military Family Support Group, was taking another veteran from the airport to Placerville with a stop at Mather in between.
It was very scary, and of course, seeing it with no blood spurting out was great, but at the same time, injuries don't always have blood.
The injuries to his passenger include a partially punctured lung and broken ribs, but Tim says he's going to be okay.
It's very shocking.
California Highway Patrol believes 32-year-old Matthew Adam Thompson launched the tripod from 2nd Street onto the highway after stealing it from a Caltrans survey crew. Surveillance video from a nearby business captured a man stealing the tripod. A few hours later, officers found Thompson, who looked like the man seen on video.
Our sergeant, after a brief foot chase, along with another officer who was on scene with him, were able to actually take him to custody.
They arrested Thompson on an active warrant and resisting a peace officer as they build a case to an attempted murder charge.
We want to make sure that when we put this case together, we do determine that it's him, that he does get the punishment that is fitting for this.
As they investigate, a veteran recovers from his injuries, and Tim reflects on how they managed to survive.
I could have lost control of the van. We both could have been out in traffic. I mean, there's numerous things that could have happened, but didn't. You know, life's a wonderful thing when you don't look at the bad part of life. You know, the miracles of life is great.
Yeah, life's great when you don't look at the bad things.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened not far from here. So
when I heard tripod, I wasn't thinking that it was...
Yeah, a big survey tripod. It went through the windshield of the car.
Hey, can I say something about those have pointed ends. Those are like spears. Like, it's not...
It was the head of the tripod that went through the windshield.
Oh, it was the head. Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, if it would have been the other way...
He would have died.
Well, I don't know that they would have gone through the windshield because it would have been those small points. It might have bounced off or deflected off. Maybe. But you had that big, heavy head of it that went right through. Yeah,
the whole thing's heavy, man. Those things are like 50, 60 pounds. So I think it would have just... That's fucked.
I mean, I will say this. Maybe keep a better eye on your tripods. As someone who's worked in video and at TV stations and been out shooting in areas where there are homeless people around, you keep an eye on your gear. And I know when you're a survey crew, you sometimes have to leave something, but it should not have gotten that far where it could have been. I mean, I don't think it was that far from where he stole it to where he threw it off the overpass. And that's the section of the freeway that actually goes down below sea level, actually.
Right.
So that surface streets can go over the top. But it was really, really weird and scary. But keep track of your gear, man. That's a tough one.
It's hard because like the way that those tripods are set up and the way that they work is, and depending on what your the way that it's set up, you could have to set up your tripod and then go take measurements out if you're by yourself.
Right.
If you're surveying.
Well, here's the other thing. Maybe, just maybe, when you're surveying in an area where you know you're going to have a lot of homeless people around, that maybe you don't send a person out on their own.
I know it's tough, but I mean, they're making prevailing wage probably. So they're probably making a laborer makes like $40 an hour.
I don't care. It's clearly a safety issue.
It is.
It's clearly a safety issue. And when I was in a position of management, I would never send a single person out and say, hey, I want you to shoot video in this, go out by yourself and shoot video in this area, because it's an area that is going to be dangerous. If you don't have somebody watching your back, you don't have somebody there with you going, oh, hey, even if it's just so that no one walks up behind you while you're looking through your eyepiece, which is really easy to happen.
Oh, I bet you guys hate those guys.
Dude, it's really freaky. Everybody's got questions. Homeless people, especially, most of them are harmless. Most of them actually don't even bother you. They just go on by. The chatty ones are the ones you have an issue with because they're probably on drugs for the most part. And they're super unpredictable. But anywho, thankfully, the injuries are not life threatening. So there should be a full recovery. All right. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Let's wrap it up. The hustle and bustle for small town news.
It's been a while since we've been to Maine and the Bangor Daily News. They're behind a paywall now, so we won't be going there that often.
Hey,
we don't have the budget to be subscribing to all these small town newspapers.
Nope, suck a dick.
Headline, how to identify, pick, and cook fiddleheads, and when to leave them alone.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is topical.
Yeah, first of all, know what you're picking. Many ferns have fiddleheads, but the ones we eat in Maine are from the ostrich fern. Ostrich ferns tend to grow near streams and rivers and have three good identifying characteristics. They have a smooth green stem, they have a deep U-shaped groove on the inside of the stem, and they will have brown papery covering when just emerging from the crown. Then know when to pick them. See, fiddleheads emerge in the spring from perennial crowns. The season for picking is short, about 2 weeks in a given area, and fiddleheads will be up as the forsythia and serviceberry bloom. Get permission to pick. Ask the landowner's permission to harvest first. Town offices can supply landowners' names from maps if you are not sure who owns the fiddlehead grounds.
Wow.
Hmm? Don't overharvest them either. The University of Maine research shows that picking more than one half of the fiddleheads from a crown will reduce plant vigor or kill the plant. Don't harvest from crowns having fewer than four fiddleheads, or if the fiddleheads are smaller than a quarter. And finally, Jason, cook them properly. How do you cook a fiddlehead? Well, you steam it for 10 to 12 minutes, and don't pack them in too tightly. Or boil fully covered fiddleheads for 15 minutes from the boiling point. Symptoms of foodborne illness have been noted when cooking for shorter times.
Hey now.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. By the way, we missed it. I'm sorry. Sorry to tell you. You missed it. Next year, maybe. The University of Maine at Farmington is holding its fourth annual Maine Fiddlehead Festival. They held it back on May 2nd at the Emory Community Arts Center. Oh, that! I bet that was a day.
I bet that was a day.
I bet it was it. I've been on the campus of the University of Maine at Farmington.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's not super middle of nowhere for Maine. Notice how I qualified that?
Yep.
Yeah. So careful when you're harvesting them fiddleheads, and of course when you're cooking them, because you don't want to get too sick. All right, that's going to do it for Jason and myself, Kareem. Still thinking of you, buddy, and. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Already, bro.
Oh, comes on you pretty quickly.
That's what she said.
Yeah, right? Coming up on Monday, Memorial Day, we will have a fresh new episode, including the airing of the grievances. Because Mondays are for grievances. We got a bunch of really great stuff for Monday's show. So have a great weekend. We'll see you back here then. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Down later for Moose Soup. Come down later for Moose Soup.